It is Locked On Jazz for the 27th of June. No Derek Favors interview. I'm so sorry. I'll explain. LeBron, what's he going to do? A trade is made. What does it mean? Restricted free agents. A look at them and whether it's worth the hassle. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily look at the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, and geeky little numbers. So I was very excited yesterday. I talked with Derek Favors, had a really fun, relaxed 16-minute conversation. Really just kind of wasn't trying to find out what he was planning to do or anything of that nature. More, I've just known Derek for 7 or 8 years now, and just he's on the verge of free agency for the first time. Gordon wouldn't chat with me last year before free agency, and so this is the first time I've ever had a chance to interview someone I know really well right before they embark on free agency. I find it fascinating and incredibly interesting of like where you are in life. I don't think any of us will ever have a similar experience. I guess we could all be on a job search and trying to choose, or maybe when you choose where you go to college and the money's different and the roles are different and obviously. But anyway, I just thought it was really insightful. And unfortunately, I had a technical problem. So we had this great conversation. He sounds like he is in an unbelievably good state of mind. Just as someone who, I'm not friends with him, let's not kid ourselves, but I care about him. And I've known him for 7 or 8 years and spent an awful lot of time with him and seen him become the father, as I missed in the interview. Luckily, you won't hear that, of saying he had 3 girls instead of 2 girls and a boy. You know, I've just seen him grow up. And he was so grown up in the conversation and sounded so great. And just said he was excited and anxious. He I thought was really interesting. At one point, he talked about the confidence that he had going into it, because he knows what he can do as a player, and so he knows if put in the right situation, how successful he can be, whatever role it is, and how different the role might be, that he can be successful in multiple ways, and that he gets to choose that. And I thought it just, he seemed really, really excited and anxious. He was really funny about social media, and we talked about him, how he trolls people every now and then with his funny little emoji tweets, and if he had anything planned in the next day or two, and we laughed about that for a while. So you would have gotten to hear just kind of, I think, a more relaxed and funny version of him. So anyway, I screwed up. And for that, I apologize that I don't have the interview. I'm really bummed. But I screwed it up, and I'm not – he's so nice. I texted him and told him. He's like, oh, we could do it again today. He's just – I was like, you know what? I got to figure out what went wrong. And so unfortunately – that's not there. He's working out 2 times a day, mostly body work. He says he's down to 253, 255, staying off social media. I think that's such an interesting thing going on right now, is how social media impacts these players and how much they do have to stay off it and how much they're getting hit by it and how much it impacts them. And I think it's a really interesting kind of world these guys. And I talked about it last year. I think that part of the anger we're seeing out of players and the frustration, whether it's officiating or with the media and thing, is all based on social media. These guys finish games and then they go to their accounts, and their accounts are just littered with people telling them everything they did wrong and ripping them. And I think it makes it, I also think it probably, there's a mental, you know, we talk all the time about how our kids and this is factual, that our generation of kids are growing up right now are having more mental health issues than other generations. And I think it's a logical deduction that the amount of information that's coming at them all the time, the constant critiques and the world that is social media, that is having an impact, right? I think we'd all agree on that. And well, our players are not immune to that. Our players are impacted by that as well. And so I think it's really, it was interesting just to say, he's like, gosh, I really am just trying to stay off social media. You know, I it was a funny moment where I said, like, have you walked through all 29 teams and tried to like, he's like, no, that's for you to do. So it was pretty funny. Anyway, seems like he's in a great state of mind. He was in Salt Lake this weekend. He's in Atlanta now. And we'll see how it plays out. But it was, from my personal standpoint, It was an opportunity to try to share with you guys what that mindset is like at a time period, and I screwed it up. So anyway, my bad on that. False alarm of excitement for that. Another good old friend got a job yesterday. I wanted to congratulate Ty Corbin. He's back on the bench in the NBA in Orlando. They announced their coaching staff, and Ty is going to work with Steve Clifford in Orlando. So wanted to send a shout out to Ty and congratulations to him on that. All right, a lot of things to talk about. There was a trade in the NBA yesterday, which is this is what we expect to have happen here. Is that there are just not a lot of teams in the NBA that are comfortable coming back with the exact same roster. Now, how mammoth is all of this going to be is what we don't know. But Washington traded Marcin Gortat to the Clippers for Austin Rivers, which obviously is interesting because of the fact that Austin Rivers is Doc's son. But regardless of that, what it really is interesting on where both teams are heading. This has to be the precursor of significant change on both sides. And frankly, they both impact Derek because they involve big men. So from a Washington standpoint, they have now traded their center, and Yama Hime may be their starting center. Maybe they've decided that that's good enough. They're paying him enough money. They don't have another backup, so maybe they're in the market for a center. Maybe they're going to go play really small with Otto Porter. But Washington had to change their roster, right? Their guys didn't get along. They were in the luxury tax. They didn't really save a lot of money on this deal. But they had to shake things up. Washington is one of these teams that we look at as they embark on this offseason. They cannot afford to return to October 1 in training camp, or September, whatever it's going to be, and have the same roster. So they've done that. They now have an interesting backcourt of John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Austin Rivers. They still have Otto Porter. Now are they sliding Porter down? They still have a Morris twin. So it'll be interesting to see what their next step is because their roster is a bit empty. Some people believe that this is now a run for Washington is in the big man market, which is a team that was not really prior in the big man market, which is important for DeMarcus Cousins, is important for Derek Favors, is important for DeAndre Jordan, and the other big men that are out there. Montrezl Harrell, kind of a wild card possibility there as well. So that's worth... That has a pretty big impact on Derek. It probably has an impact on the Jazz. Dallas still holds this card, right? Dallas is the first mover with their cap space, and what they're going to do with the free agency likely starts to dictate what happens next. So is Dallas going to go after DeMarcus Cousins that they've been linked to numerous times? Is one of the possibilities that's out there. Are they going to go to Derek Favors? Are they going something quieter and doing Montrezl Harrell? They have the early money, and the feeling is very much that because Dallas traded a future first round pick, they're moving out of the rebuilding mode. And so now you add Washington might very well be in that mold as well. And, you know, the guys Dallas also could make a play at Clint Capella right away. The Ringer wrote a good piece on this. The five bigs, I think you probably know. So you have DeAndre Jordan, who now we'll get to that in a second, DeMarcus Cousins. And then you have two restricted free agents, which are Julius Randle and Clint Capella, and you have Derek Favors. That's kind of the five. And then Montrezl Harrell's the sixth for if you're trying to get a value proposition in that, I think would probably be the next one that you would look at, and there's probably a few other guys out there, but that's where it sits. So if Washington gets involved, then that opens up another possibility to some extent for Derek. Now on the Clippers end of things, though Washington doesn't have a lot of money, right? So Washington is still touching nor the luxury tax would be a mid-level exception deal, but that's a deal. And you're trying to just figure out what your best fit is. For the Clippers standpoint, this does seem to be the end of DeAndre Jordan in LA, either that he opts out of his contract, becomes a free agent, or he opts into his final $24.1 million, and the Clippers have to try to facilitate a trade. Friday is the deadline for that, so we'll know that. But it does sound as though, so he is now likely on the market looking for another team. And DeAndre Jordan does not seem to be heading back to the Clippers. That would seem to be a surprise if that's the case. DeMarcus Cousins' free agency is fascinating because of the Achilles tendon, and there are just more and more reports that New Orleans is not going to max him out, and so then he's going to go hunt around and figure out where he might want to go and what he's going to do. And then Clint Capella's free agency is fascinating because Houston is supposedly all in on trying to get LeBron James. And if you're Phoenix or you're Dallas, do you go offer Capella a full max contract on day one of free agency? And then the problem by being restricted is you have got Dallas probably has enough money to just do it, I think. I'd have to look at my sheet. And similarly, Phoenix is probably fairly close, but would have to just do a few things. My last check, I had Phoenix with $14 million, so they'd have to open up some things. Dallas is at $22. They wouldn't have to open up very much. And they make that offer. Now, there's two impacts on that. One, from a Dallas standpoint, where you now then may miss out on DeMarcus, you may miss out on Derek, you may miss out on everybody else while you're waiting on Capella to see what happens with Houston. That period of time restricted is reduced, and we'll talk about restricted free agency a little bit more here. So that would be a really big gamble. From Phoenix's standpoint, I'm actually not sure what the gamble is. From Phoenix's standpoint, you throw that offer sheet out there in day one, and if you get delayed in free agency, I'm not sure you care because of the fact that you're still building, and if you can't, and if you might get Capella, then all of a sudden you have Devin Booker. And I don't know that you think that DeAndre Ayton and Capella work together, but Phoenix's name has been floating around here. So I think it's really Dallas more than anyone else. But Phoenix is just, you know, they've been talked about with Capella the whole time. I'd have to watch Ayton more to understand how they would use him together, but maybe they have a vision because that name, it has not gone away. I would just say that since the draft. But anyway, so watch Dallas on that. That would be a really interesting moment if Dallas were to do that in free agency, where they just suddenly put Houston between a rock and a hard place, and maybe they're feeling, you know, Dallas feels as they could wait it out, that DeMarcus, everybody will wait still to see what they're doing and whether or not that contract happens because there's so few landing spots for picks. It's pretty interesting, and DeAndre Jordan is now heading in some direction, and we'll see what that is. So first kind of deal, first movement. Exciting times. Craziness is ahead of us. Today's show is brought to you by The Store. That's right. Mudslide Cookies every day. I got to think, there's a bunch of people that have been texting me or emailing me, actually probably emailing me because that's how they can reach me, with various emails about, hey, we had to stop by the store on the way to Lake Powell. We had to get our Mudslide Cookies for the trip here. I love it. I thank you very much for those. It's so fun. And everybody's come back and said the Mudslide Cookies are as good as I said. The store, by the way, has a lot more than just Mudslide Cookies, though I do love the Mudslide Cookie. It's really a neat place. It's at 6200 South and 20th East. It's your local grocery store with just a local tie. And you walk in, if you come on the left-hand side right by the smoker, the outside smoker where they'll do a bunch of meat. You walk in and right there are the June Pies, local company out of Heber, out of Heber, and they make these great, great pies. We're a huge fan of the pork tomatilla. We're a huge fan of the apple crumble. The berry crumble is very good as well. My wife likes, the sweet cream one, I think. She loves that one. So those are fabulous. You walk right around that little bend, and there it is. There's a whole local display, whether it's the bitters or the new cotton candy or all sorts of local cheeses. And then there's a huge cheese table. Scott just got back from a cheese show and added a whole new area to it. And you head back to the further back. Over left is the orange juice, freshly squeezed orange juice and the produce. And if you sneak around, look the back, you'll see them cutting up their own pico de gallo and all their local things in their back little room. And there's all the foods in the back left side, which have the hot meals and the barbecue chicken that I love so much, and they have sushi brought in. It's just terrific. And there's a whole other side as well, and the Mudslide Cookies are on the other right-hand side. They got the kombucha tap for you. They got a cold brew tap for you. They got it all. It's so great. 6200 South, 20 of these, a wonderful vibe. Check it out. It's The Store. Cottonwood Ace is attached right to it. They have the largest Traeger set up, pretty much Traeger display in town as well. Okay, I want to talk a minute about restricted free agency, and then I want to talk about LeBron. So a lot of the names I keep hearing being mentioned are Aaron Gordon, Jabari Parker possibilities for the Jazz. Those players are restricted free agents. If I understand, which I've been wrong seemingly more this year than ever before with some of the new collective bargaining agreement, how this the rules work, I've clearly lost my confidence, is if the Jazz want to sign one of these players to an offer sheet, they, or any team has to, they have to clear all of that space prior to the offer sheet. So, for example, if the Jazz want to sign a $19 million, give someone a $19 million contract, they have to rescind the rights to Favors. They have to rescind the rights to all three, Cephalosha, Trebko, Udo. They have to rescind the rights to Neto, or announce the rights, whatever the wording is, Axum, all of them to get to $19 million. You, if I understand the rules correctly, you cannot go offer a $19 million offer sheet. Say, if this guy says, yes, we'll do these things, I think you have to do them prior. Which means that you have to know what's going to happen with your offer sheet. There can't be guesswork. Now, if you're a team that doesn't have to win this year and it's worth the gamble and you're not giving up a lot and you already have the cap room, you're not rescinding rights, renouncing rights to people, that's a different game. But you have to know that you're going to get that deal done. You have to really believe this guy's incredible in our case, because you're giving up so many different players. But you also have to know that you're going to get that deal done and be entirely confident of that. Certain circumstances will arise where a team is in, so if you go after Julius Randle and the Lakers have just signed LeBron and they know they have Paul George coming, then you know what? You know they're not matching. They're in a situation where you can't match and you already have that figured out. But if you don't have that mat, if you don't have that figured out, restricted free agency is an incredibly difficult thing for a team to play. And is a risk analysis that is laden with the possibility of errors. And that, to me, is the riding factor on both those names. Aaron Gordon came out and said he wants the max. Okay, well, like, that's a big number. There's a lot of work that has to be done to get that done. Jabari, I don't have any idea what his market is, but I also am not sure that if his market's, if his market's not mammoth, then Milwaukee matches. Right? That's the trick there. So, as much as I was going to do a whole breakdown on Aaron Gordon, Jabari Parker's potential, but to me that seems a little misleading because not sure that it addresses what the risk analysis is to go get these guys. And I think you guys all know at this point, I mean, Jabari is just a wild call. ACL, what do you believe he really can do? And Aaron Gordon, you just better believe, one, that Orlando is not going to match it, because of the fact that they are in a circumstance where they have Jonathan Isaac and Mo Bamba, but I'm not sure why they would just give away another asset, right? Victor Oladipo left them and two teams removed is now the most improved player and verging on stardom. That's not a great way to run their franchise. So that's the difficulty to that. I wanted to talk about LeBron. I don't have any idea, but it's the number one question I get asked all the time of where he's going to go. And the interesting thing with LeBron is, to me, is what he did this season. I think he was on a mission this year that was astronomical, 48. I mean, he just defied everything. And to some extent, cemented his legacy to who he is forever. He is in the conversation with Michael Jordan as the greatest player to ever play the game. Right? If he goes somewhere for the next 3 to 5 years and doesn't win a title, doesn't make finals, he is still in the conversation with Michael Jordan for the greatest player in the history of the game. No one is taking Michael Jordan out of the conversation because of what he did in Washington. And with that said, and I might be totally wrong. I mean, if you go back and read LeBron's 2014 letter that he and Lee Jenkins did, it says my goal is to win as many titles as possible. All right, well, maybe that's it. But I think that there's an element where what he's doing is bigger than titles at this point. And everything you've ever known about LeBron, if you follow him, is there's always been a bigger, wider, larger plan. Is it to get his agency into movies? Is it to get him into ownership? I don't know entirely what it is, but there's nothing about LeBron that's happening that is relaxed, not thought out. No, he's very, very detailed. And if you know the story about him getting his guys in the agencies and all around, this has been a plan throughout. So to me, when we talk about LeBron going to Philadelphia because that gives him the best chance to win a title, or LeBron going to Houston because that, I'm not sure that lines up to me. I think there's a much larger, larger, larger piece to what he's doing. Now, I don't know what that is. Is that the programs he has in Akron where he is changing the lives of incredible amounts of kids every single year because of what he's doing? I mean, he's opened up a school. He's got his bike program. I mean, he's doing amazing, amazing things. So is that it? Or is it, hey, I've got my new agency now. I've got my guys who've worked for Nike. We've built this empire. We're moving into LA to get into movies. And I'm going to work with the Buss family, who eventually is going to have to transfer ownership. And I'm going to be in a position to be an owner of the Los Angeles Lakers one day, which I'll never be with Cleveland because Dan Gilbert and I hate each other. Like, I don't know what the plan is. But I actually, just my thought on this is when you hear people talking about LeBron as a single entity to win another championship, I think it's short-sighted because I think this year he proved everything he needs to prove, who he is in his career, how he's going to be remembered, and how he's going to be thought of. You can decide whether you entirely buy that or not. If LeBron goes to L.A., that's worth discussing in a second, plus some of the moves the Jazz have made recently. Another Grayson Allen thought from something I watched last night. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Chevy. I'm driving the Chevy Colorado right now and really, really like it. So I reached out to the staff over at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross. Great, great group of people. And said, hey, if I was in there in your building right now, and I wanted to buy a Chevy Colorado, and I was looking at other brands, what is it you would tell me? That was exactly kind of what I reached out and said. What would you tell me on why? Here's what they told me. Let me see if I can find this for you. There it is. Here's what they told me. Here are my notes. There's no diesel available in the Tacoma. The Colorado has a quieter cabin, softer ride. Colorado's easier to step up in without sacrificing ground clearance. Controls are easy to learn in the Colorado's advanced safety features like the forward collision alert. Pretty cool. It's a red light that flashes at me while I'm driving if somebody gets too close. Those are not available in other groups. 308 horsepower in the V6 Colorado is more. Most loaded of the competitors are more expensive. The Chevy full-size Silverado, even than the Chevy the Colorado can pull 7,700 pounds with a diesel boost, best in class, 24 miles per gallon. Newer technology. CarPlay, Android Auto in the cars. JD Power's initial quality top five. Like, the list went on and on. And so I'm driving it. It is just great. Chevy's got the best lineup of trucks out there. with the Silverado and the Colorados. Check it out at Murdoch Chevy Woods Cross. They've been together for 91 years, the Murdochs and Chevy, the bread and butter of Utah, right out there in Woods Cross at Murdoch Chevy. Find open roads with Chevy at MurdochChev.com. Okay, so one last note on LeBron. If he goes to L.A., Paul George is going to L.A. Like, we got that, right? Like, I'm Paul George is, and they've got the ESPN special going on with Paul George. I haven't watched it. He is dealing with this so beautifully because he may end up back in Oklahoma City. But if he has his choice of going home to play with LeBron or staying in Oklahoma to play with Russell, what's he doing? Right? Okay. And I do think Kawhi ends up in L.A. eventually. My money right now is LeBron, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard are all in L.A. Magic was pretty boastful yesterday. Like, he seems pretty comfortable about what he's about to get done. And I know we'll hate it, but boy, Lakers-Warriors will be something else. And then we can go battle it out with the Rockets to see who's going to try to knock one of those behemoths off. The interesting one that we kind of referenced yesterday, the more I thought about it during the day, this is why I just think that front office job that these guys do is so incredibly difficult. Like, if the Lakers call and say, will you take Luol Deng? Well, first of all, I actually think Luol Deng might still be able to play, which is kind of a crazy concept. He just has been so banished. I don't know why we think he's completely can't play. But so, if they call and say, do you want Luol Deng? Like, it's a bad contract. And then they say, but you get Brandon Ingram. It, to me, is like a no-brainer deal that you have to do if you're the Jazz because you get Brandon Ingram. But you just, and no-brainer deals are never no-brainer deals. Let me make sure that's perfectly clear. But then the next part of that is that all of a sudden, you've now opened up the door for the Lakers to go get LeBron, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard. And so you have made, you've like put a credible mountaintop in front of you that you have to get over. Now, maybe they're all going to get old enough. Paul George is still pretty young by the time your group clicks, but you better hope you know that Brandon Ingram's going to be good. See, suddenly this becomes not a no-brainer. It's a pretty fascinating scenario. I don't know that that scenario will ever come to fruition, but it's a pretty fascinating situation. Now, you know, there were reports that teams would be willing to take draft picks. I'm not taking a draft pick from the Lakers with Luol Deng, I think. I mean, I might be wrong on this also, but because the Lakers, if they trade Luol Deng, are going to end up getting a superstar players, and then the draft picks aren't very good. But we'll see. Deng's contract is about $16 million a year. Now, I don't know how you get it done. I just think it's a fascinating discussion. How's that? Jazz did all the right requisite things with Dante Exum, George Niang, and Howell Neto yesterday that you would expect. George Niang, by the way, really has been working really, 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 really hard. I we'll see. But the Jazz have done an incredible job of player development over the time. And so, and I'm not saying I think he'll be, but I think he's really worked at it diligently with the staff, incredibly hard work throughout the playoffs. He was, you know, even though he wasn't really on the roster at that point because you've reduced it down and not going to play. And this is always a weird phrasing, like he's an NBA player. Well, sure, he's an NBA player. He was an NBA player last year. Like, I think he's vaulted himself. I think he's going to vault himself. I always think about it this way. So there's 15 rosters. Spots on 30 teams, so there's 450 spots. If you think about 300 of them are regular top 10 players in the league. And then, so maybe let's call it 350 are just like embedded NBA players. And then there's like 150 guys that kind of float inside that 100 roster spots. And that's where George Niang has been. I think he might be able to move himself into the front 350. Front 350. Like, let's watch. He just has worked so hard and so diligently. Frankly, most 50th picks of NBA drafts never do that. He can dribble, he can pass, he can do a lot of things really, really well. I think he's I think he's got a well-rounded game. You know, he played at, even though he's 6'6", he played down low a lot with the with Iowa State, and he's moving his game out a little bit more. And I just keep an eye on him. Like, I'm not trying to, he's not like, I don't think he's going to do what Royce O'Neal did last year, but and maybe what I guess I'm not trying to put that pressure on him. This is a guy that just is working diligently to become better and transform what was a great college game. I mean, he was an All-American, averaged a ton. He's doing a great job of adjusting his game from being a college player to a pro player. And so I'm rooting for him. How's that? All right, I think that covers us for the day. Hope you're doing great. Grayson Allen will be introduced today. I think you'll be, I was struck with his KSL interview with Rod Zundel I watched on YouTube last night. This is another really, really bright kid. This is a really, really bright kid. He gets it. He speaks well. He's answering some tough questions. He shows dutiful, the correct respect to people. I don't know if that's Duke. I don't know if he's just bright. I don't know if that's being 22. I don't know what that is, but it's good to see. Good to see. All right, back with you tomorrow. We'll try to do some questions on a Thursday edition. It is Locked On Jazz on the Locked On Podcast Network.